This is the Canadian Taxpayers Federation podcast, where we are fighting for lower taxes, less waste, and more accountable government. I'm Chris Sims. I'm the Alberta Director for the Taxpayers Federation. I'm here in Lethbridge, beautiful Lethbridge, Alberta. And my dear friend, Dr. Jay Goldberg, he's our Ontario Director. He's out there in the land of auto manufacturing. That's how I used to think of it, and maple leafs. When I was a kid growing up here out west and imagining what my friends and family were doing in Ontario. But speaking of auto manufacturing, Jay, so is every level of government just now an automaker? What is going on out there?
Well, look, it seems that Doug Ford and Justin Trudeau have found soulmates in each other when it comes to this EV industry and the batteries as well. They've teamed up on so many deals, we really can't count, the most recent being Honda. So the federal government and the provincial government each are chipping in $2.5 billion for Honda to build another plant in Alliston, Ontario. Now, this is to produce electric cars and the battery, so all the parts as well. That's the plan. They're saying, here's this, 1,000 jobs. It will create 1,000 jobs. You do the math, that's $5 million a job. And so, you know, Trudeau and Ford were congratulating each other, shaking each other's hands. All the ministers were talking and praising each other. But essentially, it's $5 billion out of taxpayers' wallets into Honda to produce 1,000 guaranteed jobs, possibly more spin-off jobs. But yes, $5 million a job. And this is just one more deal in what has now become $57 billion of giveaways from the provincial government in Ontario and the federal government for this whole EV industry stuff, which, as we all know, in all of these cases, the jobs are costing millions of dollars a job. And we can get into it, but these are cars where demand is down. And quite frankly, government should not be gambling with our future, our money, our children's future on the industry or anything. That's not the role government should be playing.
Oh, we're going to get into it. Okay. So number one, when I first was looking at the numbers and my brain went, that's $5 million a job, I honestly thought I was misunderstanding the announcement. I texted Franco. He's like, nope, it's $5 million a job. Okay, I'm definitely putting the blame with Ford for sure. But I think sometimes we are just led by the federal government as an example. And now we're seeing the federal government put out what I won't even call a budget anymore. I'm sorry. If you blow your budget by more than $40 billion, like you have a more than $40 billion deficit, no plans whatsoever to ever balance it, you have lost all grasp on fiscal discipline. And I think this kind of influences Queen's Park. Well, it obviously does. And now we're seeing, instead of being the shield against this kind of recklessness, we're seeing Premier Ford, unfortunately, just jumping right into the passenger seat here. And you were touching on the lack of demand. And it was something I was also seeing is that we're seeing a dip in demand now for electric vehicles. You know, surprise, I feel like that Family Feud show host, when you can barely afford food or energy to heat your home, the idea of shelling out tons of money for an electric vehicle, which is a brand new thing to most people, suddenly drops way down on your priority list. Are we seeing this right? It's a drop in demand for these things?
We are seeing that right. I mean, and I would start with the Ford Motor Company here in Ontario. The provincial government and the Trudeau government gave the Ford Motor Company $600 million to convert a plant here in Oakville from producing normal cars to electric cars. Now, they've pushed back their plan to do that by 3 years, and they cited the lack of demand as the reason that they're doing that. But look, the Ford Motor Company in general, they lost $1.3 billion on EVs in the first quarter of this year. They're losing over $100,000 for every EV they're producing. Tesla's sales the first quarter of this year were down 13% over the first quarter of last year. So I think people are starting to realize, you know, these cars, they're not affordable. They're not necessarily reliable. And, you know, and we'll talk about this later too. We really don't have the grid capacity to deal with all of this. But just generally, I mean, it's pretty common sense, right? When you got 50% of Canadians saying they're $200 away from not being able to pay their bills. We have 400,000 people here in Ontario, and I say this all the time, that are working two jobs just to make ends meet. Where are these people getting $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 to go out and buy an EV that maybe will work parts of the winter, that the range, depending on where you live in this country in the winter, could be extremely shortened. I've got, my sister has an EV. It's a Ford EV. And, you know, she gets in the summer about 400 kilometers per charge. In the winter, it goes down to 250, and that's considered good. So imagine, like a lot of these other EVs out there, people can't even get to work and back in the winter. Sometimes you can't even get them started. So there's a whole reliability question, but we're seeing the reality in the market that, you know, the free market always tells you what's happening and what the trends are. And clearly people are both realizing it's not affordable, it's not reliable. And so more than ever, people are turning to regular gasoline power cars, or in some cases hybrids, because they recognize, they've recognized how unreliable this is.
You touched on so much there, Jay, and a great reference to your sister. And I think it's important for us to really illustrate real world examples this way. And so to that point, so for folks who are living, so I'm here in Lethbridge, the commute for people, you know, is a few minutes. So it's not the same sort of experience. That would be very similar in a place like Red Deer, right? Or Moose Jaw, right? Those kind of smaller cities. I'm guessing a place like London, Ontario would be similar. Mm-hmm. But for those of you who are living in those spots who are thinking, oh, it only takes me 10 or 15 minutes to get to work. Okay, we understand. But there are big urban centers that have these massive residential corridors spreading out from them in places like Toronto and Vancouver. So I can speak to this directly, having lived in the Fraser Valley in the Lower Mainland, having that big commute. So in from Chilliwack into downtown Vancouver every day is pretty standard. And that is well over 100 kilometers in one direction. So when Jay's pointing out that your charge drops in half to like 200, 250 or something in the winter, you are now removing an essential tool, a commuter vehicle, from a working family. And so, of course, they're not going to make that choice. This is just the practical reality. And to your point on the market, usually if the government stays out of the way, it's the market that fixes these problems before they become big problems. Because what did you say? There's a, which company is losing $100,000 per
year? The Ford Motor Company, which is, of course, that's a huge reason why they're delaying for 3 years converting this plant, that the both governments have given them money to convert to an EV plant. And they're just not doing it because, yeah, they're losing $100,000 per car.
Okay. So that does two things. One, it indicates to us just how critical the situation is, because a company losing $100,000 per widget to create said widget, like even take cars out of the factory. So imagine it, if you're trying to picture $100,000, a police officer, a plumber, a paramedic, that you registered nurse, you make about $100,000 per year, give and take, and where you are in a provincial landscape, that is a ton of money. That's an annual salary per vehicle. Yeah. That they're losing. That is an astonishing amount. And to your point on the government, if the government then, Jay, can you explain this to us a little bit? What kind of an effect does that have then? If on the pure market side of it, the company's saying, boss, like we're losing money doing this. Usually in my experience, the company would immediately stop. They're like, okay, well, we're going to stop doing that. What happens though, if big daddy government comes along with a bucket of taxpayers' money and dumps it on that problem?
So there's two factors here. The first one is the Trudeau government, as you know, passed, I believe it's passed now, legislation that you can't sell a new car past 2035 that's not an EV. So why are they doing that? Because it's going to force people to buy them as the only way they can prop up this industry that's really collapsing. And the other thing is, yeah, these big handouts. So when it comes to plants like the Volkswagen plant that, again, Ford and Trudeau put a whole lot of money into, Stellantis, we mentioned the Ford Motor Company. Now we're seeing with Honda, they're talking now about Toyota. In most of these deals, production subsidies are involved. So what that means is the government is putting in a chunk of money to subsidize the production of each car, which is going to help, of course, these companies lose less money. So this is why, and it's a 10-year deal in the case of Volkswagen, the structure. So even if in two, 3 years from now, everybody decides they don't want an EV. Well, we're locking ourselves in for years and years to come with these really bad deals. And you're locking in future governments. And, you know, future governments decide they want to rip up these deals. Like, who knows what's going to happen here? And that's why it's so important for us to push these governments. They just have to stop. And, you know, we see Honda's the latest one, but it's in the past year and a half or so, $57 billion money promised. And I mean, if you look at the Trudeau government, this is a government that always wants to punish success, wants to punish businesses, profits. We heard about the capital gains stuff in the budget. You know, they're saying they want to make the wealthy pay more. Well, look, the Honda Motor Company made over $20 billion US last year. They don't need help to build a plant. The only reason they need help is because it doesn't make economic sense for them to do it without the government getting involved. And that's exactly why it's happening. So listen, Trudeau, Ford as well, loves to say, I'm standing up for the little guy. He's taking money out of the pockets of people who can barely afford gas and groceries and giving it to companies like Volkswagen, Stellantis, the Ford Motor Company, and now Honda. These are all very profitable corporations. Some of them are on the Fortune 500 list. And yes, we are giving cash to them instead of giving that back to people. And, you know, $57 billion, the federal government spends less than $57 billion on healthcare in a year. Think of that. They bring in about $57 billion through the GST. If we weren't doing these handouts, you could suspend the GST for a year. I think most Canadians would find that a much bigger help than creating, you know, something that's $5 million a job to build cars that people don't want, to put taxpayers on the hook for years and years to come that we don't have grid capacity for. So there's so many different factors here. But the bottom line is the government is involving itself in forcing people to buy EVs and subsidizing the production because they know that without doing those two things, the EV industry is not going to succeed.
This reminds me so much in a very bad way of the so-called green energy scandal that hit especially the province of Ontario. And I know that, you know, you've experienced this as well. When I was living there back under McGuinty and Wynne, so for folks who don't know what happened, this is very much paraphrasing, they signed a whole bunch of contracts for Ontario power generation. So what, however you pay for your power bill for your house, they signed a whole bunch of contracts for things like solar and wind. And just to give you an idea, say that the going rate for power at the time was about 3 cents per kilowatt hour. They were signing contracts in some cases for between 60 and 80 cents per kilowatt hour, in some cases for 20 or 30 years with these companies. And guess who's paying up the difference? The ratepayer. The person standing there in their kitchen holding their damn bill. And so this is why largely the Wynne government was chased out. If you look back at the old campaign literature, you'll see the PCs campaigning on hydro. That's why the idea that they're recreating this very similar problem, but with something as essential and personal for your own choices as your car and what you are allowed to drive, thank you to daddy government. This is disturbing that they're getting this far into the market and this far into people's choices. And I guess that's why we actually have a petition pushing back on this, pushing back on the Trudeau government to get rid of the ban on people's private gasoline and diesel powered vehicles, don't we?
We do. We do. We have a petition. I'll just tell you anecdotally. Yeah. So I moved to BC for a year to do my master's. And this was when Kathleen Wynne was premier. And, you know, I lived on my own here in Ontario. I was paying hydro bills. So I just thought these ridiculously high bills were the norm. And then I went to BC and it was way, way less, like probably a fifth of what I was paying.
Yeah.
And it was insane. And so, of course, then I moved back to Ontario and now I'm paying, you know, we have a house and a family. And so we're paying, the bills are very high, but you can see on the bill, the Ford government is taking taxpayer dollars from Queen's Park and subsidizing everybody's power bills because of this green energy fiasco. Bills were so high that our politicians here are literally paying part of the bill. Of course, we're paying it. It's all taxpayer money, but they're trying to make the bills lower because of how much governments have screwed up. And you said it exactly right. Some of the stuff that McGuinty and Wynne did locked us in for 20, 30 years. So, you know, people can get mad at the Ford government right now for, you know, electricity bills. And, you know, some criticism is warranted, but previous politicians, you talk about a lasting impact of government. These guys are going to lead to higher hydro bills in Ontario for 20, 30 years. And that's just a warning to the rest of the country. And again, we can talk about this, these EVs, the battery plants, the grid capacity, because, you know, we've heard from so many people that we don't even have the grid capacity. If we all went to EVs right now, if every single person in Canada all of a sudden drove an EV and it just popped up in your driveway, so you didn't have to worry about paying for it to buy it and being expensive and all of that, we wouldn't have the grid capacity for everybody to be charging their EVs at the same time. And so, you know, politicians today are just, well, that's a future problem. Well, guess what? Those politicians won't be in office 5 or 10 years from now, but we'll be taxpayers 5 or 10 years from now. And so will our kids. And so it's really setting us up for a very bad situation where we don't have the grid capacity. And of course, you know, Simmer, you were just talking about some of the notices that you get in Alberta when it comes to power. And, you know, you're getting that on your phone now. And what's going to happen when EVs, you know, if Trudeau has his way, dominate the market?
Yeah, exactly to your point, Dr. J. So for folks who don't know, here in Alberta, like the energy capital it's supposed to be of Canada, we are now getting brownout notices and power, you know, notices on our phones saying, don't use your hairdryer. I'm not kidding. Like, don't use your toasters. You know, we all have to conserve power. And this is when I think it's less than 5% of people are even owning an EV. Just imagine if everybody tried plugging one in tomorrow. To your point on power, a really smart energy analyst by the name of Blair King did this work, did a lot of number crunching in British Columbia, to your point, even where hydroelectric power is relatively affordable, right? They literally have it falling from the dams. And he did the math. Say Santa Claus brought everybody an electric vehicle. Boom. So forget about all the costs. You just automatically have it tomorrow morning. They would need 9 new Site C dams just to power their personal transportation just in British Columbia. And for folks who aren't aware of Site C Dam, like, it is a gigantic infrastructure project. Like, they're still building it. W.A.C. Bennett, the premier of the province back in the 50s and 60s, is the one who first picked that site because it came after A and B. That's why it's called Site C. So from actual drafting it to starting takes around 20 years, 25 years. We'd need 9 new ones tomorrow.
And it's very controversial there too. Site C, like the whole, you know, it was a big political issue and a lot of politicians didn't even want to do it. And so, but these are the same politicians who want everybody to drive an EV. So you have to ask, you don't want Site C. Well, okay. Do you want 9 of them in order to get these EV done? I don't think so, but you know, they, you can't square the circle, but you know, in their heads, they're trying, I guess.
And see, this is where I think our fight is really critical. We have to hold them to account now. We cannot let these politicians, you know, clip these ribbons and kiss these babies and say, oh, everything is going to be green and wonderful and just scurry away and leave us and our kids with generational huge taxes, massive debt, and probably rolling blackouts. Okay, because this is important. This isn't just about money. This is about people not being able to afford power for their house, or to be able to drive to work in a vehicle of their choice. So this is government meddling and lack of accountability in a huge way. For folks who do want to read up on the Ontario hydro problem, just to get the numbers, just type into the Google machine, Bonnie Lissick, Auditor General, hydro cost, and you will see that folks were overcharged tens of billions of dollars for power they never used. It is a disaster. And now we're seeing it being imposed on us in a federal scale. You know, the Trudeau government was already doing this with the carbon tax, Jay, because the same architects of that genius plan in Ontario that cost people so much money on their power bills, those folks, when they got kicked out of Queen's Park, they scurried up there and they went up to Ottawa. And a lot of those advisors were part of the folks who drafted the carbon tax federally for all of us. So folks, it's going to cost the average Alberta family more than $900 net this year. You ain't seen nothing yet. If you combine this with this ban on regular vehicles and this push for EV vehicles that we don't have the money to charge even. So yeah. Great points on all of that, Jay. I just wanted to, this is sounding a bit doom and gloom. So for, I know we have some younger people who watch our podcast and, you know, Dr. Jay and I and Franco and all the rest of the CTF team, we can start getting pretty bogged down in some of these numbers and it can seem kind of grim. But for the young people listening, like, we can get through this. We can totally manage this. We can get through this. I just wanted to give them a little anecdote that might be hard for them to believe. So I read a lot of history books, and one of them included the great manure crisis of the late 1800s, early 1900s. Because, of course, we haven't been driving gasoline and diesel-powered vehicles for centuries. No. Ford invented the internal combustion engine way back more than a century ago. But we had a huge manure crisis because people had to get to work. They had to go get groceries, right? And they would drive their horses with their carriages. It's literally why it's called a glove box in your car, because that's where they used to keep the gloves to hold the reins. So they had mounds of manure, which was the emissions coming from those vehicles at the time. But we didn't need the government to come in and ban all of this travel. People were not taxed to death and into the poorhouse and into the food lineups because they dared use their horse and cart to get somewhere. No, human beings invented something much better. And the cities of New York and London are eons cleaner now than they were back in the late 1800s. So I just wanted to give younger people this idea, like, there's nothing new under the sun, okay? We will get through this. We will figure this out. But it's important for all of us to push back, because these politicians, like Jay pointed out, they're not going to be here 10 or 20 years from now. They won't be in power. They'll be sitting on a beach somewhere with their pensions. So yeah. It's important for us to hold them to account on it now. And so this is why we encourage everybody to do speak up and push back right now. Jay, did you have a fun taxpayer pro tip to end our wonderful show on?
Yes, I do. So Doug Ford here, the premier, in recent press conferences has taken to call our finance minister, Pierre Bethlenfalvy, his personal minister of money, because, of course, it sounds like, you know, it's Doug Ford's money. It's the government's money. He comes up with it. It's poof. It comes out of air. The minister of money. Well, guess what, folks? You're the minister of money. It's coming out of your pocket and my pocket and everybody else's. And it's about time that Doug Ford realized that, you know, he talks a good talk sometimes, but when you let this slip out, oh, my minister of money, as if the money's just coming off of trees. It's not coming out of taxpayers' pockets. It's coming off of trees. You know, this, so, you know, folks, if you hear Doug Ford that say that again, send him an email, because he always claims, or give him a call, because he always says, I always answer my phone. So give him a call and just tell him, you know what, Doug, I'm your minister of money, not Pierre Bethlenfalvy.
That's my money, bro. Not your minister's money. Very good taxpayer pro tip. Mine goes out to Calgary Mayor Jody Gondek, who recently, because people even here in Alberta are struggling to pay for rent especially and to eventually hold up and sign up for a house, to be able to afford a house, she said something quite breezily saying, oh, well, you know, the new wave of the future is that you'll rent and people really enjoy that freedom. So that's really good for them. How to sound like Marie Antoinette without the cake. Don't say that. Like, free comms advice to any politician, I don't care what stripe you are, don't say that. If you're wondering, like, what are the little commoner people thinking and doing, go spend time with them. Listen to what they are saying. Do not give them this lofty advice while you yourself happen to be a property owner. Not a good look.
I was about to say, I mean, does she own a house? Because
sure does.
Okay, well, that's great. And I think if you talk to pretty much any renter out there, they will tell you that one day they hope to be paying some of the cost of housing down to owning something and not just renting something. And that should not be the new normal for everybody. We have to get back to a place where people can invest for the future and have their own place, because that's where we need to be going. And obviously there's a lot of work to go. There's a lot of housing policies that are changing, need to change. As Chris said earlier, things will get better. It's not going to be like this forever, but certainly we need to make sure that we have a change in policy and in many cases, politicians, so that we get the right people in there pushing for the right policies.
Amen. Thanks so much, Dr. Jay.